Brothers and sisters, we lift up our hearts to the Lord and we confess together, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And he greets us, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's praise the Lord by singing together Psalm 146, Psalm 146, verse 1 and verse 5, and afterwards remain standing for professing our faith. Praise the Lord. Let's now profess our faith by singing hymn 1. Let's draw near to God and ask him for a blessing. Once again, we come before your throne, Father in heaven, at the beginning of yet another worship service. You called us to come out of our homes, away from our couches and our easy chairs. You called us to come and to worship you. And when you call, we answer, Father, because we believe that you are the fount of life and grace. We believe that there is no other way to find salvation except through your word and through your working in our hearts by your Spirit. And we also confess, Father, that the church building, where your word is preached, this place is the workshop of the Holy Spirit. Here you work in our hearts to give us faith and to strengthen our faith. And so we pray, Father, be with all your children wherever we are throughout the world. We pray for our sister churches around the world. We also pray for mission work that we can support, even financially, in Indonesia and PNG. We pray for our missionaries and support workers and their families. Give them your blessing, Father. We also pray for your people around the world who suffer on account of their faith, those who are persecuted. Give them what they need to persevere in their faith, to stand firm, so that they may receive the crown of life which you have promised to all those who love you. Now be with us during this worship service. Continue to teach us this afternoon how we ought to pray. And as we deal with the petition to give us this day our daily bread, grant that we may all examine our hearts and our lives, and grant that our prayers and also our attitude when we pray may give you honor and glory. And where we need correction, Father, will you graciously correct us? Also, in the course of this worship service, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You now have an opportunity to serve the Lord with your thank offering. The collection this afternoon is for the Children of Light. After your collections have been gathered, we sing afterwards Psalm 72, verse 9 and verse 10.
Psalm 72.
Without just all the cross.
let's take our Bibles and let's read together from the Old Testament, from Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11, we read, is in connection with the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us today our daily bread." And we read from Numbers 11 three short passages. We start at verse 1. The Israelites were on their way to Canaan. They were in the desert. Numbers 11, verse 1, "Hear the word of the Lord. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes.'" We continue at verse 16. "So the Lord said to Moses, 'Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and will put the same upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Then you shall say to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, "Who will give us meat to eat?" For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, 'Why did we ever come up out of Egypt?'" And we continue again at verse 31. Verse 31. "Now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. And the people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day, and gathered the quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. So he called the name of that place Kibroth Hataavah, because there they buried the people who had yielded to craving." Now we go on to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8 from verse 1. And here Moses looks back over everything that's happened in the desert. This is just before the Israelites come into the land of Canaan. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1, the word of the Lord. "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your feet swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwelt in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you shall say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. This afternoon I preach to you the Word of God as we confess it in Lord's Day 50 of our Catechism. Lord's Day 50. On page 562 of our Book of Praise, Lord's Day 50. What is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, provide us with all our bodily needs, so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labour and also your gifts cannot do us any good without your blessing. Grant therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in you. So far our reading from the Confession of the Church. We now listen to the preaching of the Gospel, and afterwards we sing together Psalm 144, Psalm 144, verse 5 and verse 6. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, when you go to Bunnings and you see tools that you would love to have for yourself, or maybe if you go shopping in Carousel and you see some clothes that you fancy, reality is that nothing can stop you from buying anything you want, even if you have no money. Whatever you want to buy, you can just charge it to your credit card. You can buy anything that your heart desires, even if you have no money. Instead of waiting until you can earn the money, you can use your credit card to get it now, and then you can find a way to pay for it later. No problem. Now think about this, brothers and sisters. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray, Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. When God hears this prayer, then God gives us so much or so little for today. And then it seems that we ought to be satisfied with that. We ought to be satisfied to have as much as God gives to us, and no more. So how does it work if we buy now and pay later? Does it make sense to pray, give us today our daily bread, and then to spend money that we do not have? To spend money that we only expect God to give us tomorrow? Can we say that God has given it to us? Can we say, thank you, God, for this gift, when God has not yet given us the money to pay for it? Now, of course, beloved congregation, of course, in some circumstances, it is responsible and even necessary that we borrow money to pay for stuff that we need. When we buy a house, for example, possibly even a car, then we might take out a loan. And understand how you arrange your finances. I will not stick my nose into that, especially not in a sermon about prayer. Instead, I preach to you this afternoon the gospel of your salvation under the following theme: pray, give us this day our daily bread. In this sermon, we will consider three questions. What is our daily bread? How does God challenge us when we have an abundance of daily bread? How does God challenge us when we feel that we are lacking our daily bread? Again, pray, give us today our daily bread. And then we consider first, what is our daily bread? Now the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread. We don't need for God to give us today what we are going to eat tomorrow. Instead, we ought to trust that God will provide tomorrow what we are going to need tomorrow. Give us today our daily bread. That means, Father in heaven, we trust you to provide for our bodily needs one day at a time. And of course, many of us get paid weekly, bi-weekly, or monthly. Besides, many of us have enough food in the house to last us for at least another week, maybe longer than that. And so we might ask, does it make sense for us to pray for our daily bread? And we might assume, in the time when Jesus was on earth, and when Jesus taught his disciples to pray for their daily bread, we might assume in those days Many people were living what we call from hand to mouth. What they earned today, they spent today. Remember the parable of the workers in the vineyard? They were employed on a daily basis, and at the end of every day they were paid. In fact, the Lord told his people in Leviticus 19. The Lord said, if you hold back the wages of a laborer overnight, you rob him. The Lord said, if a man works for you today, pay him today. And so, it seems as if God was giving his children their daily bread every day. And so, we might assume it made sense for them to pray, give us every day our daily bread. And then we might also conclude, for us to pray for our daily bread when we get paid weekly or fortnightly, that does not make sense at all. Indeed, we might reason in this way, brothers and sisters, but this does not give us a complete picture, because many Israelites were farmers. Every year, in the month of May, there was the grain harvest. Then the corn and the barley was harvested and stored in the barn. In July, the summer fruit was harvested. And so the farmers, they would store their grain and everything else that came off the land in their barns until the next harvest. And if a farmer had a barn that was empty in March, he had no credit card, he had no checkbook, and so it was not really so easy for him to get more food. Instead, what he had in his barn was his bread for the whole year. And so for us to say today that Jesus taught the disciples to pray for their daily bread because they received their bread every day, that's nonsense. Instead, Jesus commanded Israelites to pray for their daily bread, and then, when God gave them their bread, that bread had to last for weeks, even for months, a whole year. So the Lord also expected Israelite farmers to sit down at their breakfast table and to pray, give us today our daily bread. And then, after those farmers had finished praying for their daily bread, afterwards they would walk to the barn and they would take from their barn their bread for today, which the Lord had already given to them months before. And so we understand the petition, give us today our daily bread. This is not so much about God giving to us every single day. No, it's more about us being thankful every single day. It's more about us confessing every single day that we depend on him. Give us today our daily bread. That means, Father in heaven, the food and the drink that we have on our table today. We did not earn it ourselves. Instead, it all comes from you. It all comes to us from your fatherly hand. We acknowledge this humbly, and we thank you for what you give. But there is more, brothers and sisters. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, if we believe that God answers our prayers by giving us our daily bread, then praying this petition also makes us content. Because we pray for God to give us our daily bread, and then we say Amen, and we open our eyes, and we eat and drink what God has provided for us. And so we confess, this, what we have on the table this afternoon, this is what God has given to us. This is our daily bread. Whatever is on the table is our daily bread. Jesus taught us that God clothes the lilies of the field. Jesus taught us that God feeds the birds of the air. God gives to every single bird exactly what that bird needs. So, when we sit at the table, when we fold our hands and close our eyes, and when we say, "Give us this day our daily bread," afterwards, when we open our eyes, we must be content, and we must believe this is our daily bread. This is what our Heavenly Father, in His wisdom, has provided for us. Who can pray, "Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread," and then complain? Who can pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," and then not be content? We can only do that when we pray in unbelief, when we don't trust Him to give to us in perfect measure exactly what we need. And so it's important that we pray for our daily bread, brothers and sisters. It's important because when we pray this, then we confess that our Father in heaven gives us exactly what is good for us. And then we see an advertisement for a new car or a new gadget or a holiday, and that advertisement gives us a different message. The advertisement says, "It doesn't matter what or how much God gives to you. Don't let Him cramp your style. Don't let Him tell you what you can or cannot have. Just go ahead, buy it now. And how you will pay for it, you can always work that out later." The bottom line, brothers and sisters, the bottom line, when we spend money that we do not have, then we eat what is not our daily bread. Then we take what God has not yet given to us. Also for this reason, Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." That means, Father in heaven, You give us exactly what is good for us. You give it to us, perhaps in our paycheck, perhaps in the form of a pension, or maybe through the deacons. You give it to us in whatever way pleases You. But, Father in heaven, You also know our hearts. You know that we are by nature often dissatisfied. We're often jealous of our neighbours when they have got what we cannot afford. So teach us to believe that You are the only fountain of all good. Work in our hearts by Your Spirit so that we may be content with what You give. Whatever You give, that is our daily bread. In our second point, we will now consider how God challenges us when He gives us more. When we look in our lives, brothers and sisters, when we count all our possessions which we have in our homes, we have to admit that God is blessing us richly. And when we see how much we have in our community, God's blessings for us are almost overwhelming. He gives us food and drink, clothes, homes, church buildings, schools, also organizations like Eucalypt, Fairhaven, and Worthy Hands. In Canada, we also have a theological seminary. Our Heavenly Father blesses us richly. He gives us plenty of everything. But think about this, brothers and sisters. Please consider, Is it always true that the more we have, the more God is blessing us? Is it true that if we have lots, then God is blessing us lots? And is it true that if we have less, then God is blessing us less? Well, think about the Israelites in the desert. At the beginning of Numbers 11, they were eating manna every day. Eating just manna. Imagine, for us, that would be like eating bread without butter, without cheese, without Vegemite, without peanut butter. Just bread, dry bread, every day, without anything on it. Was God blessing those Israelites? Well, those Israelites wanted a change of diet. And they said, God, we want more. And then God responded. God gave them more. God gave them quails to eat. That was meat. A change from just plain old dry bread. So, when God gave them those quails to eat, was God blessing them? When God gave them what they were asking for, was God blessing them? Of course not. Instead, God was angry at them. God said to them, "My children, you want meat to eat? I'll give you meat tomorrow, the next day, even a whole week, a whole month. I will give you meat to eat until it comes out of your nose and you loathe it and you never want to see these quails again." And then the quails came. God gave the Israelites the meat that they had been praying for. But while that meat was still between their teeth, the Lord struck them with a severe plague, and many of them died. The Lord cursed the Israelites. Think about this. The Lord cursed the Israelites by giving them exactly what they wanted. The Lord cursed them by giving them exactly what they were praying for. And so, we need to step back. And we need to ask, what is God doing for us today, brothers and sisters? What is God doing for us here in Australia? For generations, Christians in Australia have been praying, "Give us this day our daily bread." And on the one hand, we might say that God has graciously been hearing our prayers, so that here in Rockingham too, we enjoy what is among the highest living standards in the world. Especially in the last couple of years during COVID, God has been amazingly gracious to us. But if God gave the Israelites meat when they prayed for it, but if God was not blessing them, but cursing them instead, surely God can also give us everything that we desire. And yet, God can withhold his blessing from us at the same time. And so we need to ask, how can we know if God is really blessing us? How can we tell if God is truly blessing us, or if God is choking us with an overabundance of material blessings like he did with the Israelites in Numbers 11? Think about all the money that Australians are wasting on gambling and empty entertainment and drugs and pornography. Is God blessing us, or is God allowing us to gorge ourselves, stuff ourselves full with garbage so that eventually we choke to death. How can we tell? Well, brothers and sisters, when God gives us so much, it's quite easy to tell if God is blessing us, yes or no. Fact is, we don't have to look up. We don't have to wonder about God, because God is love. And so, of course, God loves us. God is love. No question about what's happening up there. The question that we need to ask is this: what are we doing with God's gifts? Imagine a man who gives flowers to the woman he loves. She takes those flowers home. She puts them in a vase. And at the end of the week, the flowers are dead and she throws them away. End of story. But on the other hand, if that woman receives these flowers from her husband, if she receives them as a token of his love, then she will thank him heartily, and then she will love him even more as a result of those flowers which he has given to her. Understand, brothers and sisters, when a man gives a bunch of flowers to a woman, that can have two possible outcomes. In the first scenario, the woman enjoys them, but that's all. A week later, the flowers are gone, leaving not even a trace. Then those flowers are wasted. But in the other scenario, the woman responds. She loves her husband even more because of everything that he gives to her. And in the same way, every day again, God gives to you so many things. Millions of people enjoy these gifts, but so many people do not thank God. So many people do not respond to God's grace by thanking him and loving him. Then God's gifts are not real blessings, because they do nothing to strengthen the bond between God and his people. Instead, those gifts simply increase guilt. But brothers and sisters, if we are different, if we receive all these gifts from our Heavenly Father, if we receive them as tokens of his love and of his faithfulness, then God's gifts are never wasted. Because then we also respond by loving God and by using his gifts in a way that reflects our thankfulness to him and our love for him. When God gives us food and drink, when God pours out many blessings on us, they cannot do us any good without God's blessing. That is, they cannot do us any good unless God opens our eyes and opens our hearts, unless God moves our hearts and makes us thankful. Also, for this reason, we pray, Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. That means, Father, provide for all our bodily needs. But if you would just give us stuff, and if you would just leave us to deal with that stuff by ourselves, then we would be better off with nothing, because we would squander it all. And so we would only make you angry. So open our hearts. Teach us to believe and confess that all this wonderful stuff comes from you. And teach us to respond with gratitude, praising you, and using all these gifts in service of you. For then we are truly blessed, and then your name receives honor and glory. Beloved congregation, when God gives us much daily bread, then God is giving us many reasons for gratitude, many reasons to praise him and to glorify his name. And so when we pray for our daily bread, we also pray for faith, so that we may respond to God's goodness by thanking and praising Him and by living closer and closer to Him. And now in our third point, we will see how God can also challenge us by giving us less. When we pray, give us today our daily bread, according to the catechism, that also means grant that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in you. And we can understand well why we need to pray this, brothers and sisters. After all, we do our jobs, and when the job is done, we get our paycheck. And then we use our paycheck to buy groceries and pay our bills and enjoy life. We don't think twice about it because we feel that we have earned it. And think about this. When we talk about salvation, forgiveness of sins and eternal life, when we talk about that topic, we are 100% reformed. We say it's all grace. We pull up our nose at Roman Catholics and Arminians because they talk about earning eternal life. In our theology, we say, no, that's wrong. We receive salvation by grace alone. But brothers and sisters, when it comes to our daily bread, then we think differently. We imagine that we earn it ourselves, because this is human nature. We can imagine those Israelites when they came from Egypt and when they settled in Canaan. We can imagine those Israelites plowing their fields, gathering their crops, and feeling quite satisfied about themselves. We can imagine them telling themselves that they were pretty clever farmers, just like many of us. We do our job, we earn a good income, and we say, hey, I'm pretty good at doing this job. And this is why the Lord said to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 8, when the Lord had just about brought them into Canaan, the Lord said, no, it's better if you spend some years in the desert first. When you're in the desert, you will not plant crops. You will not run a business. Instead, in the desert, all you will do day after day will be walk and walk and walk some more. And then, if your clothes wear out, if you would know an economical way to fix your clothes, if you were really good with money, if you were good at hunting down bargains, in the desert, all of that will count for nothing. Instead, you will be totally helpless. You will depend completely on God. I will give you everything. I will make sure that your clothes never wear out. I will make sure that you have everything that you need, and you will do zero to earn it. Because, brothers and sisters, God wanted to teach them that everything we have comes from His gracious hand. And God teaches us the same lesson when we struggle to pay the bills. We work hard and we struggle. We don't have enough. Then, by the grace of God, the penny drops and we come to realize that we cannot make it with hard work. We cannot make it with careful planning and budgeting. We cannot make it on our own, full stop. God throws these roadblocks on our path. We plan. We scrimp and save. We budget. We do our best. But God doesn't make it work. He doesn't let it work. We think God is against us. But God says, "No, my child, I'm not against you. But I just want to teach you that you can't do anything by yourself. Instead, I give you everything. It's all grace." And so, Sister Catechism, pray, give us today our daily bread. This is much more than a prayer for food. This is much more than a confession that it all comes from God. Instead, it is also very much a prayer for God to change our hearts. Jesus says, pray, give us this day our daily bread. That means, Father in heaven, by nature, I am proud. I am stubborn. Yes, Father, I am a Christian and I believe the gospel, but I still imagine that I earn my daily bread. I still imagine that success in this world depends on me. And so, sometimes I look down on other people. Sometimes I imagine that I work harder and work smarter. I imagine that if they would only be more like me, then they would be better off. That is my pride, my human pride. So open my heart, Father, to the gospel. Stop me from trusting in myself. Stop me from relying on my boss. Grant that I may withdraw my trust from all creatures and place it only in you. It makes no difference what you give me, Father, riches or poverty. It makes no difference how much you give me either. I still need you to change my heart. I need you to teach me that everything is grace and comes from your fatherly hand. Truly, beloved congregation, God provides for us incredibly well. He gives us more food and drink than we can handle. Houses, garages, filled with the most amazing stuff. So many presents. But when we give someone a present, we often put a card with it. And that card explains what the present is meant to say. The card interprets the present. And in the same way, when God gives us blessings, then the Bible interprets all those blessings for us. The Bible teaches us that everything God gives to us has the same message. God says, "My dear children, I care for you. I provide for you. And so, pray every day. Give us this day our daily bread." That means, Father in heaven, everything that we have comes from you. You give it to us by grace alone. You gave us your Son. You give us everything. We thank you, Father, and we understand that our response ought to be thankfulness, praise, and besides, our response ought to be that we use everything in His service for the glory of His name today and every day. Amen. Let's sing Psalm 144, verse 5 and verse 6.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, on behalf of Consistory, I have the following announcements. The Lord willing, we will celebrate the Holy Supper next Sunday morning. As we read in 1 Corinthians 11, whoever eats of this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. As we confess in Lord's Day 30, only those may come to the table who are truly displeased with themselves because of their sins, and yet trust that these are forgiven them, and that their remaining weaknesses are covered by the suffering and death of Christ, and who desire more and more to strengthen their faith and amend their life. But hypocrites and those who do not repent eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Another announcement, Consistory with Deacons will meet Tuesday evening at 7:30, God willing. And following the election this morning, Consistory has appointed Brother Rod Maring, Brother Aaron Swartz, and Brother Shark Vanderstulp to the office of Elder, and Brother Steve Evans to the office of Deacon. If no lawful objections are brought forward, ordination will take place on Sunday the 28th of November, God willing. An attestation had been received from Akela Maring, Neve and Dyke, from the church in Byford. We welcome her into this congregation. An attestation has been requested by Emily Fockema to the church in Mundijong. An attestation has been requested by family D and J Veltman to the church in West Albany. So far, the announcements of Consistory. Let's draw near to God and pray for a blessing over this coming week. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful knowledge that you provide us with everything that we need day by day. We don't have to earn it. Indeed, we cannot earn it. Instead, you give it to us. And you don't make mistakes, Father. Instead, you give to every one of us exactly what is good for us, exactly as much or as little as is good for us. We were reminded this afternoon, Father, that the Israelites in the desert, they complained. They were not satisfied to eat just plain manna. Instead, they wanted meat to eat. And then you gave them meat to eat, so much that they stuffed themselves full and they died. And we confess, Father, that we also have so much that we are in danger of gorging ourselves. We have more than we need, much more than we need. And so move our hearts, Father. Turn our hearts so that we don't content ourselves by building big castles to live in and by buying nice cars to impress everyone else. Grant instead that we may use all your blessings in your service for your honor and glory. Grant that we may live humbly and modestly, using what you provide in service of you. Father in heaven, we confess that we are not always content with what you give to us. Sometimes we are greedy and we want more and more to spend on ourselves, and then we are never satisfied. Father, deliver us from the sin of greed. But you also know that sometimes we just want to care for our families. We just want to fulfill our responsibilities, and we feel that we don't have enough. Then show us the way, Father. Make us content. And then grant also to the deacons that they can do their task meaningfully and sensitively, so that we may all serve you faithfully and joyfully. Father, you see what we do with our daily bread, how we spend our money, and how we spend our energy. Teach us to understand that you are not satisfied when we give you one-tenth, the tithe. Just like you are not content when we give you a couple of hours on Sunday, or maybe a few hours of Bible study during the week. Father, teach us to respond to your grace by loving you wholeheartedly and by serving you with all our being and also with all our material possessions. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our final song of worship this afternoon is hymn 76. Sisters, receive the blessing of your Lord and Saviour and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.